The United States of America, known as the land of the free, home of the brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States their home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following discussion with Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled Just Be Satisfied with What We Have in New Jersey, USA in June
1992. That's why Taiwanese people getting better and better. Taiwanese people seem to enjoy very stable spirit. Huh? Okay, they're okay. Enjoy stable life, and their country is very prosperous. I think they get supplies somewhere else. They get balance somewhere else. Let's go to Maoli Center and meditate. It's full. Overfilled to capacity. It is not easy to satisfy the demand of the numbers of people, huh? I think we have to buy an whole island and build a whole island, one roof. Yes. I think we just be satisfied with what we have. It's a very good place, no? If necessary, we can make this place into useful and spacious area for everyone. No problem. This place we can extend further by a canvas, you know, waterproof canvas. Very fast. 1-2 days you finished, huh? Yes, just make a canvas. Tight, very tight, and we don't have typhoon here. We don't have earthquake here. No problem. And we roll up, roll on. Yeah. And when it's cold, we can put a heater. Yeah. In the four corners. Or from the ceiling. Fix in, you know. And then with the canvas around it, it will keep warm, just like in a tent, no problem. With a heater, you know, no problem really. If we really need the space, we can do that, understand? We can do everything, no need to make big deal, because we never have enough space. Doesn't matter how much, you know, if I stay here all the time, you know, the Taiwanese will come, the Costa Rican will come, and all the people will come. And we never have enough place. Therefore, I don't stay in any place. Taiwan is the place I stay the most. But because I also don't stay there very often, and not very long, therefore we don't fill it up. Otherwise, we already have no space in that big areas. So big. Big meditation hall. And always filled. Many people sit outside or sit in a different places with television. I think we just have to be satisfied what we have, huh? This is a very nice place, huh? Nice place, yes. Well, when I am here more, I can instruct them to do something for the parking. When we have no parking, we have problem. When we have parking, we have problem. Huh? No solution. So what to do? That's why many clever masters, they say in Himalaya, you know. No car. You have to walk only. And you cannot take too much belongings with you. So they don't need storage space. I just walk with... When I was there, I walked with one sleeping bag. One pullover, very thin and light one. And two pair of pajamas, that's it. You know, the kind that you wear, Indian clothes. It's not pajama, it just look like cotton, very thin. And the pullover, I hardly use, so after all, I also give it up. And I have one umbrella, I also have to give it up. It's too heavy. It getting heavier as you walk. When you first walk, it's very light. And then the more you walk, the heavier it becomes. And I have one book for the Himalaya region. And I have another book, Bhagavad Gita. Yes. And slowly, the books have to be gone also. And I have one fork, one knife, one spoon, and one plate, and one can. You know, like the cup, which is used for storing food and also cooking tea. I don't know, to getting water from the Ganges. And slowly the spoon have to go, the fork has to go, and I use the fingers. Every extra inches of things make it heavier and heavier. And I give up everything. Until at last one sleeping bag, one cane, and two pyjama, that's it, nothing more. You cannot walk with many things. Many people, they even have to be carried by the coolies or by the horses. Yeah, not everybody walks. I walked all the way. Just keep you warm. When they sit on the horse or on the people's back, they have to cover themselves with a big blanket and still shiver and wear thick clothes. And I couldn't even bear the pullover because I was sweating. When you walk, you know, you sweat. Some of the masters, they do not need a lot of clothing like we do. Therefore, they can stay there all through winter, summer, no problem. They eat little, yeah. Sometimes they don't eat even. They're breatharian. That means they eat from the air and they don't eat. Therefore, they don't need belonging. No food and no clothing, because they practice also the tumor heat. You know, from the stomach, from the solar plexus, they derive enough heat to heat their body. But I don't know how long, they cannot do that all day long, but probably sometimes when necessary, I guess. So when they go to bed, they don't need it, but when they go out, probably they have to use that to heat their body, to keep warm. And they don't eat. Some of them don't eat. Some of them eat very little. Some of them drink only milk. And they have servants to bring the milk, or disciples, or maybe followers, or somebody that they can buy milk from. And they bring it to them once every 2-3 days. They keep fresh in the cold climate. And they just drink one glass of milk every day, and that's it. For many weeks or something. It's enough nutrition. Of course, they are not as big as you, but I've seen some very strong. And his body is so red. And he walk on the snow. Yes, he walk around like that. And so massive, a big body. And it's all so red. You know, everybody shiver around him, and he just walk like this. Amazing sight to see. In the Himalaya, when the snow was so thick like a mountain, and everybody shiver in there with skin jacket, and he walk around bare feet, bare head, no hair on even. Yeah, like one of those monks, yeah. Nothing but just a loin cloth, you know, wrap around his, where he's supposed to wrap. That's what he had, and he walked around all day long. I've seen it with my eyes. Of course, I've seen many worse than that. Sleeping on nails, bed and all that. Yeah, it's true. If you want to see all of this in one go, I mean, without searching all over, then you can go every 12 years, you can go to the Kumbh Mela. Yeah. It means a very great spiritual gathering of the whole India. They all come together in one place to exchange their practices and experience, or to let the lay people make offering to them and see them. It's supposed to be like that. Every 12 years they gather in one of the holy places, one of the four holy places in India, in the Himalaya also. But this is not on the plain, huh? This is up in the mountain place. And every 12 years they gather like that. And you see all kind of magical power. And you never know, some people, they worship cows, you know, all kind of things. When the cows have one foot more from his body, and then all the people come and worship that cow because he had 5 feet instead of four. That's the only reason for worshiping that cow. Everybody come throw money in the cows behind and then worship him. And they do worship cows even when they have only four legs. That I have seen also. Sometimes the cows, you know, they run all over places in India freely, yeah. They don't care about traffic and no regulation for them. So every cars, every person has to give way to cows when he walks around. Cows is holy, supposed to be in India, huh? So there's some person who sometimes they peel the vegetables and the apples, the fruits, and the peelings, you know, the skins. They will save it and put it in a piece of paper, and then they bring it out to the cow on the street. Yeah, that's all right. But then before she put it down, she make an offering. She also do like that, you know. Touch the cow and then and put it on the forehead. So you see, even in the most holy land, like India, there are also superstition. Or maybe it's good like that, to give our innocence. Every living being has God inside. Maybe it's also okay. Every country is fascinating with her history and customs, and all kind of special worship. The way they worship is very special. For example, I was also in India, but I went to Kashmir because it was the most beautiful, supposed to be the most beautiful place in India. And also because I want to see the tomb of Jesus, supposed to be, yes. And outside it's written Justafus, or something like that. Supposed to be Jesus in Arabic. So I went there to see him. Also, there's supposed to be a community of... There's supposed to be Moses' place, also up there somewhere. Oh, all the holy person gather in India. So it says that after Jesus supposed to be nailed on the cross, he escaped. And then went to India, to Kashmir. And there he lived up until 120 years of age. and died with one of his disciples, and they buried together, that one big tomb and another small one. So it is written outside like that, okay? And on the outside, the information. And it is written in the information book of India that I got. So I went there just to have a look. It's a beautiful place. Also, it's heaven address. So you see, we cannot find safety in this world, even the most holy land.
It's better to be communicated in silence. That's what you get when you're at home, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we are always in communication, no? You do, huh? Many of you know, huh? Many know that we're always together. And we always have communication, and we never lost that. Never lost the line, right? Yes. Especially when you are in trouble. our telephone always work. Fax machine on perfect order. So actually, it's not always necessary that I have to talk to you every time we see each other. But we can just chat casually like this. So at least you have some good fun, huh? You can laugh and see. Last night, we have all laughter and cries here. This afternoon you cry and now you laugh. So tomorrow you barbecue. You might cry again because of the smoke. Life is difficult enough, so I try to make everything easy for you, all the time. But try to appreciate that, yeah? Try to appreciate it. Not because these things are so cheap, huh? Even if electronic light and sound, huh? And not lifelong guarantee, this lifelong guarantee. And afterlife guarantee also. Fully insured. The best insurance company. Understand? Even just artificial light and stuff with electronic. You know, huh? And it might go out of order anytime. And when no electric doesn't work, no battery, it doesn't work. So try to appreciate what precious thing you have. I think you do. If you are on a high level of practice, you do appreciate this. Only when we still struggle under the astral level, then we feel pressure. Did I tell you the story of the monk in India? No. Okay, there was a monk. Yeah, he devoted himself to God like all the monks supposed to do. So he has only one piece of cloth which he covers his body, and he has only one pot which he fetch water. And also cooking and milk and all that inside there. It happens that the lid of the pot is broken. And so he doesn't buy a new one. He uses one corner of his cloth to cover that pot anytime I sit near the pot. So somebody come along and say, "Why don't you buy a new lid for the pot?" He said, "Oh, I already swear, whatever I have here, I'll never get more. I just use what I have, you see." And then he said, "Why? But why? Why are you so stubborn, you know? One lid, no problem. How about a new pot?" He said, No. You increase this and tomorrow that and the other."
Yes. You know, skiing, with skiing jacket.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for part 2 of Just Being Satisfied with What We Have. More positive programming coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned. May your days be beautiful and joyous.